Father, we thank you for that truth, Lord, that we have the possibility to be yours. Lord, we thank you that even though our sins have separated us from you, we thank you that you came for us, that you lived on this earth, that you walked among us, God in the flesh, that you went to the cross, that you took all of our sins upon yourself, and you paid in full the penalty, the debt that we owe. And Lord, we thank you that for those who repent and believe and put their faith in you, Jesus, that we become yours. We're no longer your enemies, but we are yours forever. We thank you for the truth you spoke to the thief next to you on the cross when you told him, "Today, I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise." Oh Lord, thank you for saving us by your grace, your mercy, and through faith. And we thank you that you give us eternal life and abundant life. Thank you for your living word. Thank you that at any time we can go to your word and hear your voice. Lord, if we will only read it with an open heart and ask you to speak, we thank you that you do. And so now we ask you, Lord, to get me out of the way. We ask you to bring us your message this morning. Speak to each of our hearts. Thank you for your word. Speak through your word and let us hear what you have to say, not me. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. His grace is greater than all your sin. So fight the good fight. His grace. There's an acrostic for the word grace that I learned in a program called Evangelism Explosion one time. I don't know who originated it, but G-R-A-C-E, God's riches, everything, at Christ's expense. Grace is God's free, unearned, undeserved favor, love, and mercy that he just pours out upon you continuously like a waterfall when we didn't earn it and we don't deserve it, when we deserve the opposite, death and hell. Grace. His grace is greater than all your sins, so fight the good fight. Here's an example of it. His grace being greater than someone's sins, so fight the good fight. Here's an example. Listen to this in Isaiah 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted. This is the prophet Isaiah speaking, writing. Seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphs, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. "Woe to me," I cried. "I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Then one of the seraphs flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" And I said, "Here am I, send me." And he said, there's no "and" there. He said, "Go and tell this people." And then God gave him a message. Isaiah saw this. His grace is greater than all your sins. So fight the good fight. You see, Isaiah had this vision and he said, "Woe is me, I'm a sinner. I live among a people of unclean lips. I'm a man of unclean lips." And he realized his sin. But grace is greater than all your sin. You see, God came in his grace and sent the seraph and got the coals from the altar and just touched Isaiah's lips and said, "See, your guilt has been removed and your sin has been atoned for." God did it. That's grace. Isaiah didn't do anything. God did it. That's grace. And so God cleaned him up. God made him clean. His grace was greater than all Isaiah's sin. And so once that happens, once God cleans somebody up like that, and they know their sin's been removed and taken away and atoned for, they can raise their hand and say, "Well, here am I, Lord, send me. I'm clean. You don't have anything against me. Send me out. What you got for me, Lord?" And that's what happened. God said, "Who will go for us?" Isaiah realized, "I don't have anything between me and God. He's cleaning me up. I'll go. Here am I, Lord, send me." His grace is greater than all your sins. So fight the good fight. Now Isaiah was ready to fight the good fight. Let me give you another example of it. Here's another example. Jesus was teaching from Simon Peter's boat, and then he said this to him. This is in Luke 5, 8 through 11. He said this. Jesus finished the teaching. He said, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." There's another example of it. His grace is greater than all your sins. So fight the good fight. That's what happened to Peter right there. Peter saw it. Peter already knew there was no fish out there. He'd been fishing all night. And then he obeyed Jesus. Jesus made both boats catch so many fish that they're about to sink. Maybe Peter began to realize, "Who is this? This is God in the flesh." I don't know what Peter was thinking, but you know what? When you see God, the closer you get to God, the more sinful you realize you are. And he was in the presence of God, and so he caught sight of himself, just like Isaiah did when Isaiah saw his presence and he looked back at himself and said, "Woe is me." In the same way, Peter said, "Lord, I am a sinful man. Go away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man." But the truth comes in. His grace, the grace of God, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, is greater than all your sins. So what did Jesus say to him? "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." What was Jesus saying and all that? Jesus was saying, "My grace is bigger. I'm about to forgive you of all sin. And then you're going to be able to raise your hand and don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." His grace is greater than all your sins. So fight the good fight. Now, Simon Peter, you're going to be ready to fight the good fight. We'll flip over to 1 Timothy chapter 1. And let's look at it right here. 1 Timothy 1. Let's look at verses 12 through 20. 1 Timothy 1, 12 through 20. And I've got to give you one other verse that sums up this whole message. It's the same truth that I've already mentioned in these different illustrations. And it's found in, you don't have to turn there, you might want to jot down this reference, Galatians 5:13. Here's the same thing. Here's what God says. "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love." Same thing. His grace is greater than your sin. And once you put your faith in him, he calls you to be free. And but, he says, don't use that freedom to indulge in the sinful nature. But serve one another in love. Christian freedom is twofold, really. In Christian freedom, there's when you become a Christian, you repent, you put your faith in Jesus, You have Christian freedom. And one of your freedoms is that from now on, for the rest of your life, no matter what you say, do, or think, you are His. You will always belong to Him. He loves you infinitely. He will never stop loving you. He will never cast you out. It doesn't matter what you say, do, think. You're His, and He'll never cast you out. You're free. And so that's why He has to warn you. So don't go indulge in the sinful nature just because you're always mine from now on. You're free as a Christian. Don't go indulge in the sinful nature, but serve one another in love. Well, that's one part of Christian freedom. Another part of Christian freedom is once you have Christ in your life, once you're a Christian, you are now, for the first time, free. Someone has said, I heard Steve Brown say it one time, you are now free to walk away from that which drew you before. So that's another part of your Christian freedom. Once Christ is in you, the Holy Spirit is in you. And before Him, you were a slave to sin. You couldn't obey God. You couldn't please God. But once your faith in Christ and Christ is in you and the Holy Spirit is in you, you actually have the ability now to obey God because of the Holy Spirit. It's not you. He'll work through you. And now you can not do certain things, and you can do certain other things. You're free from the law of sin and death. So, His grace is greater than all your sin. You're free now. So fight the good fight. You're forgiven. You're free. Fight the good fight. Look what the Apostle Paul is teaching Timothy here and what God is teaching us because He gave it to us in His Word. In 1 Timothy 1, look at 12 through 20, it says this. The Apostle Paul, talking to his son in the faith, Timothy, writing to him, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength, that He considered me faithful, appointing me to His service. Even though I was once a blasphemer and persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display His unlimited patience as an example for those who would believe on Him and receive eternal life. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Timothy, my son, I give you this instruction in keeping with the prophecies once made about you, so that by following them you may fight the good fight, holding on to the faith and a good conscience. Some have rejected these and so have shipwrecked their faith. Among them are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have handed over to Satan to be taught not to blaspheme. His grace is greater than all your sins. So fight the good fight. That's what we see here. First of all, be thankful. Be thankful. That's what we see in 12 through 14. Be thankful. Look at it. I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has given me strength, that He considered me faithful. He gives you strength. Be thankful. The Lord gives you strength. Be thankful. He gives you strength that is not yours. He gives you His strength when you call on Him, when you know Him. Be thankful. He lives in you and through you. Be thankful. He appoints you to serve. That's what we see in the second part of verse 12. That He considered me faithful, appointing me to His service. He appoints you to serve. Be thankful. You are a sinner, and then if you've come to Christ and you've put your faith in Him, now He gives you a ministry. He's equipped every believer with at least one spiritual gift, maybe more, and maybe different ones at different times, but He's given you gifts to serve, and He appoints you, and He calls you, just like Isaiah. Once He cleans you up and you become His, just like Peter, now I'm going to make you a fisher of men. You can raise your hand and be thankful. He gives you strength. He appoints you to serve. And here's what you can really be thankful about. He appoints you to serve even though you were something terrible. even though you've been something terrible, and even though he knows every sin you've ever committed, that deepest, darkest sin you've never shared with anybody, he knows it all, and he knew it before you were born, and he knew it, and it was on his mind when he died for you and paid for it on the cross. And he knows it all. And even though he knows you through and through, and he knows all your sin and even the sin you haven't done yet, and he knows what you were, even though he appoints you to serve. And so be thankful. He gives you his grace and his mercy. Be thankful. That's what he's saying here right after 12 and 13. Even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. That's how we all start out. We're all in ignorance and unbelief at first. And the only thing we need to do is acknowledge how sinful we are before we come to Jesus. And he says he was a blasphemer, a persecutor, a violent man. Well, you know what you once were. And for others, maybe you received Christ at an early age. But you know what you once were. Now, I could say a number of things. I could probably say I was a drunk and I could probably go on and on. His grace is greater than all your sin, so fight the good fight. Even though you were something and you acted in ignorance and unbelief, he showed you mercy. That's what we see there in 13. So be thankful. Be thankful. And be thankful in verse 14. It says, the grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. You see three things there, grace, faith, and love. It was all abundantly given to him. When he was a terrible guy, he persecuted the church. He was the worst of the worst. But he had God's grace and faith and love poured out on him abundantly, and it's the same for you. So be thankful. Be thankful. A lot of times when we're thankful for something, it just results in gratitude. We just want to serve the one who we're thankful to. When over the 4th of July, we were in South Carolina with Allison's brother and their children. And I woke up early on the 4th, early in the morning. I went to that coffee maker. It has this compartment where you put beans in, and then you put the water in, and then you turn it on, and it grinds the beans, and then it makes coffee. So you got some pretty fresh coffee. Well, I got up early so I could spend time with the Lord and do things. I don't know how much time I spent trying to figure out how to work that thing. And I could never get it working, and I kept going and trying all these things, and all I would hear is beep, beep, beep. Beep, and I got on the internet and tried to figure out this, what is this coffee maker called, and what if you hear a beep beep, and I could never figure it out. And so I finally left, and then the next morning Stephen showed me again these other things that you have to do, and I was missing two pieces that were in the dish rack, and so he showed me how to do it all, and then I learned it, and then the next morning I made it, and it's a process making it with all that stuff. And so I did all that, but you know what, the next morning I got in there and I went to make it all again, and I realized there was already water in there and all the beans were already in it. And I realized all I had to do was press a button. You know how thankful I was? I was like, oh, Lord Jesus, thank you for Stephen. Wow. I told him later, I was like, man, thank you so much. That meant so much, just having that coffee ready to go in the morning. And, you know, I would have been ready to serve Stephen right then. Hey, what can I do for you? Is there anything I can do for you? That's what it is with God. He did a lot more for you when you deserve death and hell just like me. He did a lot more for you than make you some coffee. He gave his life and shed his blood and did everything so you can live eternally and abundantly and serve him in these wonderful ways and fulfill the incredible plans he has for you. And be thankful. Be thankful and serve out of your gratitude for for what he's done for you. Next, Jesus came to save sinners. His grace is greater than all your sins, so fight the good fight. Be thankful, and then know that Jesus came to save sinners. Look at 15 and 16. Here's a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his unlimited patience as an example for those who would believe on him and receive eternal life. Jesus came to save sinners. Be thankful. He came to save sinners, and he gave us the example in the Apostle Paul that there is no sin that any human being could ever commit that you can't be forgiven for. That's what he was telling us here in the Apostle Paul. That's why the Apostle Paul was saying, I'm the worst of sinners. That's why the Apostle Paul said, listen to what I did. I was a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man. He persecuted the church. What a great sin. The church, as it was growing and as God's people were spreading, well, Paul was there to put them in prison and to sit at their feet and to give approval to their death. Like the first martyr, Stephen, Paul was right there. His name was Saul at that time, but he put his cloak down and he gave approval as they stoned Stephen to death and killed him. He was persecuting God's church. And he said, I was a violent man. We don't know, who knows what all he did. He's a violent man. And he said, God gave me his grace and mercy, and he saved me. And now he's the Apostle Paul. We think of like the most righteous person in the world. What's God saying? That nobody's beyond God's grace, that his forgiveness is for everybody. It doesn't matter what you've done. And he says, the worst of sinners, Jesus came for them. He gave mercy to the worst of sinners to show his unlimited patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life. You know, you might remember years back, there was a man named Ted Bundy, and he was a serial killer. And he killed all these women around Florida State's campus. I remember some of that. And what about him? Is Jesus a savior for him? Did Jesus come to save sinners like him? What about that? Is he worse than the Apostle Paul? No, the Apostle Paul said, I am the worst of sinners. He persecuted the church, having people killed. What about Ted Bundy? You might burn me for saying this, but I personally believe Ted Bundy's in heaven. You know why? Because I saw an interview that he had with James Dobson when he was in prison. And James Dobson said that this couple had taken it upon themselves to go and minister to him and just keep on sharing Christ with Ted Bundy over and over. And I heard his testimony. I heard Ted Bundy talking as James Dobson was interviewing him. And only God knows the heart, but I believe he's saved. That's how our God is. There's no sin. That's what God is telling us, the worst of sinners. What about ISIS? What about ISIS? Can they... Is Jesus a savior for the sinners of ISIS? What, they're doing the same thing Paul did, persecuting the church, killing people, having people killed. Yeah, Jesus died for them. Jesus died for Baghdadi, their leader. He died to pay for their sins. He wants to forgive them. He wants them to repent and come to him. And you know what? Jesus tells us in Matthew 5:44, but I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. You know, I take that seriously. I pray for ISIS every day. I pray for ISIS and Baghdadi every day. And I pray for North Korea. Maybe you do too. Why? Because the Apostle Paul was the same way. And look what God did to him when he gave him his grace and his mercy. He saved him. And we have some pretty good influence from the Apostle Paul. We need to pray for our enemies too. What if Baghdadi repents and turns to Jesus and ISIS is all of a sudden transformed and sharing the gospel with it? God can do whatever he wants to do. Jesus came to save sinners. So praise him. Praise him. Thank him. If he saved you, praise him. That's what we see in verse 17, that with that amazing praise. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Praise Him if He's done these things for you. You know, when the Lord does things for you, you just want to praise Him. You know, that same morning that I couldn't get any coffee ready, I finally just had to leave the house and I just prayed, God, would you lead me to some coffee? Because I need it. We were about to have the 4th of July parade. We had to get all these things ready. And God, would you lead me to some coffee? You know what? I found a Starbucks right next to where we were inside of this hotel where you never would have seen it. My phone pointed me to it. And Stephen and Medell, who it's their house, we were right next to it. They didn't even know it existed. They're like, there's a Starbucks in there? Yeah, you know what? When I got that cup of coffee and I was looking at that beautiful sunrise and looking at that water, you know, I was just praising the Lord. Because when God provides for you and He does things for you, you just want to praise Him. When you realize how much of a sinner you are and were and what He's done for you, you just want to praise Him more and more. You just want to thank Him and praise Him. And then you can say, Lord, let me fight the good fight. That's what we see in 18 to 20. Lord, let me fight the good fight. Timothy, my son, I give you this instruction in keeping with the prophecies once made about you, so that by following them you may fight the good fight, holding on to faith and a good conscience. Some have rejected these and have shipwrecked their faith. Among them are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have handed over to Satan to be taught not to blaspheme. Fight the good fight. Be thankful. Jesus came to save sinners. If He saved you, be thankful and praise Him. And then fight the good fight. Follow what God has said. That's what He's telling Timothy to do here. He says, there's been these prophecies, Timothy, about you. He's saying, hold to them. Hold to what God has said. And fight the good fight. And so you have a clear conscience. That's what He's telling Timothy here. And that's what He's telling you. That's what He's telling me. Follow what God has said. What has He said to you? Follow what He said so that you may fight the good fight, holding on to the faith and a good conscience, so you have a good conscience. Do whatever the Lord's told you. Do everything He's told you. And we know the general things just by knowing His Word. We know He's called us to be in that relationship with Him and to be in His Word and to be coming to church like you're doing this morning and be with His people. And to share Him with others and to find out your giftedness and be serving Him. We know all that, but then what are the specific things? What's He telling you to do along the way? What's the ministry He's giving you? What's He calling you to do? Follow what He said so that you may fight the good fight, holding on to the faith and a good conscience, and learn from those who have rejected what God has said. Hymenaeus and Alexander, learn the result. They're given over to Satan when we disobey the Lord and we don't do what He wants us to do. And there's the opposite in our lives. Let's pray together. Father, we just thank You, Lord, that Your grace is greater than all our sin. So we need to fight the good fight. Lord, I pray that You'd help all of us to be thankful this morning because You give us strength. And anyone who's a believer, You've appointed us to serve, Lord. And You've given us grace when we were something terrible and we know that we sin and we know our flesh and we know our weaknesses and our sinful nature. And Lord, and You keep having to forgive us. And Lord, we just thank You. We thank You that Your grace is greater than all our sin. And Lord, we thank You that You came to save sinners. And Lord, that You gave us the example of the worst sinner that You saved and transformed his life and that You want us to share with all people, Lord. And Lord, for anyone who needs to claim You as their Savior, help them to say, Lord, I'm a sinner. Jesus, thank You for coming for me. Thank You for paying for my sins on the cross and being raised from the dead. And Lord, I come to You. I give You my life, Jesus. Save me. I'm a sinner. Have mercy on me. Come into my life. I give my life to You, Jesus. I trust You to save me. I thank You. Oh, Lord, help us to praise You often, continually, Lord, in the good and the bad times, Lord. Help Your praise to be on our lips. And Lord, help us to fight the good fight, knowing that You've covered all of our sins and we can
raise our hand to you and say, here am I, Lord, send me. Help us to hear your voice in everything you're calling us to do, and do it. Help us to obey you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, if you need to give your life to Jesus this morning and become his forever, so you can be thankful and so you can praise him, when Chris leads us in this song, stand up in your seat and come down here and share that. I can pray for you, and we'd like to help you. We'd like to pray for you and help you along the way. If you're joining this church, you can come when Chris leads us in this song. You can join this church, or maybe something God has spoken something else to you through one of these different points. Well, you can pray at the altar or pray at your seat about that. But do whatever the Lord is telling you to do as Chris leads us.